The text for this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. It will be the final portion of this text, which we will focus on in our homily. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would strengthen us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. A number of years ago, one of my secretaries had this sign on her desk, something like this. Maybe you've seen this before. If God has placed me on this earth to get a certain amount of things done, right now I'm so far behind that I don't think I'll ever die. And maybe you've had that sense of incompleteness sometimes. Things are never quite where they need to be. There are many tasks and duties and responsibilities that we must perform in our day-to-day lives and with our jobs and at home. And a lot of times that to-do list just seems to always grow. And so there's this sense of incompleteness in our lives that seems to show up in many different ways. It's that same sense of incompleteness that we feel with temporal earthly tasks that St. Paul wishes to address in our text today when it comes to our spiritual lives and when it comes to our relationship to God. And Paul addresses us in these final words of the text before us with four key words that I would like to just spend time on today. The first one is wisdom. Wisdom. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. It says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul." Imagine a man who's drowning out in the ocean, and his number one primary concern is how nice his swimming stroke looks. How ridiculous that would be. A lot of times in this life, you and I can spend our time and our energy and the focus of our lives on being consumed with things that really don't matter in the end, that are just kind of for show. It's a very tempting thing for us. And we can, at the same time, often easily neglect the most important matters of our lives, our relationship to God, the fact that we're going to die someday, the fact that there is an eternity waiting for us, the fact that we're going to all have to stand before a holy God in judgment. And so the wisdom that Paul is talking about in our text deals with this head on. It deals with judgment, death, God, our sin, eternity. True wisdom begins with making sure that we are prepared for heaven. And the content of that wisdom, well, if a soul like mine, which is full of sin and is going to die, if a soul like mine is going to end up somehow in a good relationship with this holy God, a God of justice and a God who's all-knowing, then something is going to have to happen outside of me. This then leads us to the second word of our text. Notice that Paul says, Christ has become for us not only wisdom from God, but righteousness. Righteousness. When the Bible speaks about righteousness, it's not speaking about it in what we would call an infused way. In other words, as if somehow God takes goodness and holiness and righteousness and puts it inside of the believer for him or her to act out and to live out in their lives so that hopefully they can be good enough in the end and get themselves to heaven and so on. That's not what God means when he talks about a righteousness that comes from God. It's not an infused righteousness into us. It's what we call an imputed righteousness. Now, what that means is that God simply declares you and me to be holy, declares us to be right with him because of what Christ has done for us. This is an imputed righteousness. It has to do with a status before God that is just a present. And in Christ, you and I, sinful people like us, have been granted this imputed righteousness. So don't live under the false notion that somehow through your life you have to live out a perfection and a holiness that's going to make God happy, because you're going to always come back to a sense of incompleteness. You're going to always feel like the task just has not been fully done. When God speaks about righteousness in the Scriptures, He is well aware of how weak I am. He is well aware of how unable I am to carry out any type of holiness in my life. He's well aware of my shortcomings, of my incompleteness, as He is with yours. And so when God addresses us about righteousness, He knows it has to just be a present from Him, as it is in Christ. So Christ has become for us not only wisdom from God, but also our righteousness. Don't let the devil shift your eyes in your life away from the cross of Christ and His holy, perfect life onto you and how incomplete your life is, because you will never have comfort. Paul then leads us to the word sanctification in order to give us an even greater comfort and security about going to heaven someday. The Holy Spirit says that Christ has become for us our sanctification. Now, sanctification has to do with how I, as a believer in Christ, live out my life in this world to honor God and show love to Him and to serve Him and so on. It would be very easy. I know most of you pretty personally, and it would be very easy for us to find some people that could come forward and talk about what a nice person you are, and to talk about some of your Christian virtues and things that you've done for the church, things that happen in your life that demonstrate that you love Christ. But here's the problem. If you're like me, you know that deep down inside of your own conscience and heart, you are well aware that oftentimes the things that we do can be a facade. They can look so good on the outside because we know what people want to see. But down inside, I know my own motives. I know the kinds of thoughts that are churning in my head. And I know how incomplete my own sanctification is. You and I, by God's grace, have been given faith in Christ to be branches on the vine of Christ. And we do bring forth good works in our lives. But the grapes that hang on my life are moldy, they're full of bugs, they're shriveled, they're dried up, and they're sometimes bitter and sour. And so for me in any way to depend on my own sanctification as if somehow God is happy with that, that would be terrifying. It's incomplete. So how comforting the words of our text are again. Christ has become for us not only wisdom and righteousness from God, but even your sanctification. Even your sanctification is in Christ. I'd like to read a brief paragraph from Norman Madsen, who served on this campus many years ago. This is one of his devotions to the students. I'd just like to have you hear this paragraph. He says, "I shall never forget how I, in the early years of my ministry, came to a man who was dying of cancer, but who was troubled about the incompleteness of his life of daily renewal. In his youth, he had been strongly influenced by certain enthusiasts who had told him that unless he had gotten deeper down in the slough of despond, in other words, feeling bad of his sins, he had no right to comfort himself with the gospel promises. There was no doubt about the poor man's sorrow over his sins, but had he sorrowed enough? It was this which troubled him beyond measure. All assurances that his sins had been forgiven seemed in vain. Then it was this particular passage of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, telling him that Christ was also his sanctification, which brought him comfort and joy. And it was in that blessed assurance that he died." Christ has not only become your righteousness, but even your sanctification before God. Finally, our fourth word. He says, Christ is also our redemption. Now, when you redeem something, you put money down on it to, in a sense, buy it so that you can come back and reclaim it. The redemption that Paul is talking about in our text is not just referring to what Christ did on the cross, where he purchased your entrance into heaven with his blood. But he's talking about the future redemption when you are claimed and finally lifted out of your grave to your eternal home above. When Christ will finally come and pick up what he has put down on deposit through his blood on the cross. You may have a long list of tasks and things to do in your life today, and you may live your life like I do a lot of times with a great sense of incompleteness. But when it comes to spiritual matters, God would have you know that in Christ there is no incompleteness. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the wonderful gift of your Son, who has become for us wisdom from above and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We pray that you would give us hearts of faith that truly cling to him at all times as we look forward to the day of our glorification and the redemption of our bodies. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.